Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. And Amber Johnson is a certified nurse midwife and is giving me a few minutes of her time to do an amazing interview. We chatted, I think it was last week. Time goes by so fast when you're doing amazing things. And just telling me about her international midwifery works that she's been doing. I was like, can you please be part of our interview series? I think it's an amazing story. So thank you, Amber, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So Amber, let's start with the basics. Let's tell me about your midwifery journey, because that's always our common question.
Sure. So I've kind of had a long and winding road to get to be a midwife. I started as a massage therapist, actually. Right out of high school, I went to school to be a massage therapist. And through my work as a massage therapist, I started to work as a birth doula. And that was my first introduction to the birth world at all. And as anyone who is a hardcore birth worker knows, once you get a taste of it, you kind of know, is this your tribe or not? And for sure, I knew just as a doula that like this is the world that I was meant to be in. And so that inspired me to pursue being a registered nurse. And just based on where I was in my life, doing an associate's degree at a community college is what was accessible to me, both financially and logistically. And so I did an associate's degree at my local community college. And so I did an associate's degree in nursing and I got my RN. And I was lucky enough right out of my associate's degree to get a job as a labor and delivery nurse. I just sold myself very hard. It's a challenging thing to do for anyone who has been a registered nurse to get right into maternity care.
I hear of a few unicorns that also do that because, yeah, it's a difficult spot to get into in general.
It is, because truly labor, delivery, and postpartum, it is critical care. And to get into a critical care field as a new graduate RN
versus
is very
prior
challenging.
1 year, 2 years surgical experience is rare. Yep.
Yep, exactly. And so once I started working as an RN, again, I kind of just thought, I'm not ready to stop here. I'm not ready to just be the nurse. I really think that I want to take on more and to get into the provider role. And so in order to become a midwife, there's a few ways to do that in America. But as a registered nurse, the way that I chose to do it is to finish my bachelor's degree in nursing first, and then to go on to a master's degree. And so I did my bachelor's program in night school while I was working for as a night shift registered nurse. I also took night classes on my days off to finish my bachelor's degree.
That's
and
where you know the passion
during that time,
comes through. Yeah.
Yes. It was not a super easy or convenient thing to do, but I knew the ultimate goal was to be a midwife. And that's the easiest way for me at that time in my life. I also had my first child during those years when I was working as a registered nurse and finishing my bachelor's degree. I had my first baby. And again, I think anyone who has birthed a child themselves know that that's a transformative event. It kind of just cemented my passion for being in the delivery and being with women. And my personal experience for sure kind of added fuel to that fire of like, I did an associate's degree. I did a bachelor's degree. Can I really do a master's degree?
Yeah.
I gave birth and I had an amazing birth experience with my first, and it kind of cemented that goal of like, let's keep going. Let's take this a little bit further.
Well, I hear a lot of midwives, just because you create a young family, you're trying to get through everything. I had my first two in midwifery school. And the big joke was like, well, if you want the most empathetic instructors you'll ever have, like you got to pick the degree of midwifery when you're having your babies.
It's so true. And it's been interesting to me, the things that I've been interested in my career in nursing and midwifery have really followed along with the phase in life that I'm in. And so I was most passionate about birth and midwifery when I was birthing my own babies. And I was then most passionate about women's health whenever I was sort of done with the childbearing years of my life. And now I'm getting very interested in menopausal care. And I'm just a little closer to that than I'd like to admit. And so it's interesting how those phases kind of follow along with my profession.
We're personally learning about our bodies and ourselves in those stages of life. And so it's like that education is filtering. Okay, my girlfriends didn't know this. I didn't know this. So now I want to teach people, like, it's whatever. Yeah, I noticed that a lot too.
Absolutely. And I think that connecting with patients, you know, in a clinic room or in an exam room, you know, it means a lot for me to be able to say, you know what, me too. Like, I've been there too.
I can relate to the hot flashes. I can relate to, yeah, versus you have a 20-year-old trying to relate to a 55-year-old. It is a little bit harder. So.
It totally is. And so I birthed my first baby. I applied to midwifery school. I applied to Frontier Nursing University. I chose that school because I think that they had a really great handle on the history of midwifery, which I feel very drawn to, that there's a great legacy of midwives who came before all of us. Yeah. And it offered me the ability to still work and have little children at home. And so it was an excellent program for me. I got accepted to my master's program the day that my second child was born. I was sitting in my postpartum bed and read my acceptance letter. And I thought, gosh, I'm in it now. I have two little babies at home. Let's go ahead and do this.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So you became a midwife. Yep. And where are the different places, settings you practiced and the once you became a midwife journey?
So I did my midwifery training mostly in the hospital setting. So when I was a student, I worked in a community hospital, but then I also had an amazing opportunity to work in a birth center that was centered on a hospital campus. And so it was a really unique setting that the birth center was sort of operated independently, but had the access to the hospital facilities very nearby. And so it was an excellent experience as a student to kind of feel both of those things. And it cemented for my personal goals that I am a hospital-based midwife. That's where I feel most passionate. And I think it really sort of highlighted my feel that, like, I think women deserve to be cared for wherever they feel the most comfortable. And for some women, that's at home. And for others, it's in a birth center. And for many, it's in the hospital. And I think for women who feel most comfortable in a hospital, I think they also deserve to have midwifery care. And I really thought that sort of that's where my niche is in the world of midwifery.
Yeah. Nope, I wholeheartedly agree. Point is with women, wherever they are, as long as they've got good informed consent, they've got a good support network and advocacy, why should we put in our biases and our personal preferences onto their choices? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think in some ways, women who choose or maybe medically need to have a hospital birth almost are the most deserving of midwifery care because it's certainly not an easy system for a woman to be a patient. We all know this.
Yes, we do. We do. Part I wanted to get to is when COVID, I would love to know, like, just did you search out the opportunity or did they find you for the opportunity in Uganda and what you did? You moved your whole family across the world in COVID. Like, I just think that was an amazing story you told me prior.
Yeah, it's a story that probably externally maybe doesn't look like it makes a lot of sense. But I had worked, once I became a midwife, I joined onto a private practice, an all-female practice of an OBGYN/midwifery group. And it was just a really amazing setting as a new graduate midwife to have mentorship and support to gain all of the clinical skills that I really wanted to build. And I spent 6 years at that practice doing just really high quality, full scope midwifery care for women from teenagers needing, their first contraceptive discussions to women who are well past menopause and just need their normal cancer screenings. And so it was an excellent setting for me. But as anyone who worked as a frontline healthcare provider through COVID knows that it really sort of heightened. If you had any underlying sense of burnout as a clinician, it certainly brought that burnout to the surface. And I think for me, that was true. It was a very challenging time. Around the time that COVID hit, I was finishing my doctoral degree. So I chose to move on from my master's degree. And after working a few years as a sort of frontline midwife, I realized that I have a strong passion for quality improvement. I'm a really big stickler for doing things the correct way and doing things efficiently. And I realized that what would get me sort of the best education and the best setup to be able to do that in the clinical setting was to pursue a doctorate. And I got a Doctor of Nursing Practice degree from Duke University. I chose that because I had an advisor during my master's degree program who also had a PhD. She was a midwife who had a PhD. And she told me when I was in school for my master's that, she really has a strong belief that midwives deserve to be represented in the highest levels of academia and policymaking. And I truly believe that. I think that midwives deserve a seat at the table when we're talking about maternal health care, and whether that's how we're teaching it, how we're actually practicing it, or how we're setting policies for it. And that really stuck with me through those years that I worked as a bedside midwife that, being an excellent clinician is one thing, but I think, again, midwives have more that they can offer. And so that's one of the reasons that I chose to be chose to pursue my doctorate. Unfortunately, I finished my doctorate at peak COVID. I finished in the summer of 2020, and it was just a big downer for anyone who graduated from high schoolers on. It was just a really crappy time to graduate with a degree that you're very excited about, because it was just peak COVID and there was no ceremony about it. There was no sort of all of the pomp and the graduation and job search. It was just very challenging. And so, you know, my husband and I were thinking, you know, our kids are home learning. You know, they were already doing online schooling, but we were doing it from our home setting. And we looked at each other and we just said, you know, we could be anywhere in the world right now doing anything that we want, because we're all, you know, generally remote and our kids are already doing this remote thing, and said, you know, what do we really want to do? And so I sought out some global health opportunities, and I found a really excellent organization that focuses on educating educators. And by that, I mean, they place sort of high level experts in their field and faculty members within universities all around the world in order to offer faculty level mentorship and curriculum development within those universities. And I thought it was an excellent fit for me, having just finished a degree in nursing and midwifery education and policy making. So in 2021, my family packed up our lives. We put everything that we own into a small storage unit. We rented our home that we own in Colorado, and we moved all four of us to Lira, Uganda. And the contract that I signed in order to do that was a one-year visiting professorship at the university there. And the reason that I was placed with this university particularly is because they are preparing to launch the very first master's level midwifery program in the country. I know, super exciting stuff. So in Uganda, they have a bachelor's level midwifery program. So similar to our master's degree in midwifery in America, they have a bachelor's degree, but there was no such thing as a master's in midwifery for those midwives who wanted to go in on into leadership or education roles or to impact policy in the country. And so the university saw that this was a need and decided to build a master's program. And so I was placed particularly in order to sort of like help the launch of that program.
You're changing history. Like, I just, when they say, okay, that first class that came out of that program, I mean, yeah, it's just amazing. And most people wouldn't, in the opposite direction, in COVID, in the thick of things, they're like, let's not change anything. There's enough changes in life. We're going to be simple. We're going to simple. Like, you guys took it the abundance mindset. You completely are like, this is an opportunity. This is like, okay, how often are our kids out? How often do like, and so I think that's amazing, just to show there's always two ways to look at something.
Yeah, I think, you know, with our personal family decision to do it at this time in our lives, our kids are 10 and 12 years old. And so they're in this sort of lull between elementary school and middle school. And we thought, if we don't do this now, before they're really cemented into their sort of personal relationships and getting a high school experience, I think we would have put it off until our kids are out of the house. And I don't know that that was what we wanted. Not only did we, as you know, my partner and I want to experience this, but we wanted our kids to truly experience it and to be in a culture that was new to them. I think it's been a rough couple years in America. There's been a lot of social justice issues that we're facing. There's been a lot of political issues that we're facing. Right. And I thought there was a lot of value in taking our kids to a totally new environment to sort of expand what they see of the world and what they believe of the world.
How did they do with that last year? What, were they very happy? Did you guys really enjoy it?
It had all of the good and the bad that we were expecting. And so we spent the first half of the academic year there on campus, and our kids did online remote school through their home school district in Colorado. So they got to sort of maintain some familiarity into their education system. And my husband took a leave of absence from work. And so he just did a 1-year sabbatical from his job, which was very supportive and sort of supporting our family to do this adventure. And he focused mostly on helping the kids with schoolwork and doing some consulting work while we were out of the country.
You got to be that very important role of stay-at-home dad. Yes.
It is a critical role. And I think any partner of a midwife knows that, you know, I think they do more than the average partner. And so he's always had that role, right? Any partner of a midwife knows that it's all hours of the day and night, it's holidays, it's weekends, it's all the things. And so he already did a lot of work in the parenting realm when we were back in our home country, but certainly that heightened when we were in Uganda.
Yeah, we talked about all the time that we need to make some support groups for these unsung heroes of midwives, because yes, the partners, like my husband, this example, he put the alarm at 6 a.m. and he helped make my lead generation list because I'm almost bawling, like all these things I got to work on. And I didn't even ask him. So I mean, we have these amazing people in our life that allow us to take midwifery to the next level that don't get credit. We should, I don't know, I'll have to brainstorm with ACNM. We need some unsung heroes, not the midwives, but the ones supporting the midwives.
Oh my gosh, it's absolutely true. So this is definitely an adventure and a career choice that I couldn't have made without a very supportive partner. So unfortunately, when we were in Uganda, a few things happened. One, we weren't expecting the Omicron variant. And so we left the United States in the summer of 2021 when COVID cases were at the lowest since the beginning of the pandemic. And so we felt relatively confident. Three of our four family members were fully vaccinated against the COVID virus. Our youngest was not yet eligible to receive a vaccine when we left the country. And so she was unvaccinated. And then halfway through the first semester, the Omicron wave started to come, and it was challenging for us to sort of make a decision. Do we come back to America to get her vaccinated? What's the risk of our travel just getting back to America to get her vaccinated? Yeah. Where's the safest place for us to be? And it combined with some new terrorist activity that was happening in Uganda. So unfortunately, there was a few bombings in the capital city, and that also sort of put us on high alert. The master's program, that the launch was also delayed by the COVID virus. And so a lot of the sort of hurdles that you have to jump through to launch a new academic program. You
added 10 times more on there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so it became clear to us that the program that we were supporting wasn't actually going to launch during my tenure with the university, and that most of the work that I needed to do for that launch could be done remotely.
Yeah.
Yep. So it was a really hard decision.
So you just got an extended vacation and experience and then can continue, and you built that relationship and can continue to do the work. So.
Yeah, I think the 6 months that we spent on the ground there were really invaluable to our family. And for me professionally, I mean, working in a cross-cultural, professional setting, I think is really valuable experience. And I was able to build those personal relationships with the faculty there that really is helping me now that I'm in a remote setting to be able to, I know them personally. I know where they live. I know their WhatsApp text message. I mean, I can contact them even outside of a professional setting and feel really well received. And so we made the hard decision to come back to America in order to finish out the rest of the year supporting the curriculum development for the program launch, which hopefully will happen in the summer of 2022. Okay. But it put us in a super weird situation. So of course we had rented our home in Colorado to a lovely family. And so technically we're homeless. Mm-hmm. We we're figuring it out as we go. It's been a grand adventure of a year, and the year is only halfway through. And so that's where we're at right now.
Well, I think too, so many people outside of midwifery, just in a general, we're in these massive shifts in life and priority and adapting quickly that we already had fast-paced lives, but I feel like it was accelerated to light speed. It's just like, you're like, oh, like people don't even want to plan 3 months out or a year out. Like I do a lot of consulting work, and the strategic planning is very difficult now because they're like, I don't know what's going to happen in a year. I don't know. It puts people in this basic Maslow hierarchy of needs where you're more survival versus growth and expand, because there's no stability in the basic function of our everyday lives. And so, yeah, I wholeheartedly respect the challenges you're going through, and a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah, it certainly was a strange year. I've kind of thought back. I've really tried to sort of meditate on what it was last year that really sort of contributed to the frontline burnout that made me want to step back a bit and to work more in the academic world and midwifery. And I think I've been thinking more lately about how isolating it can be to be a midwife. We have this really strange in-between role in medicine and in nursing, right? We're not nurses. And we're not physicians, and we have this really strange, we're just in between the two, and we can relate to both of those fields. But that we also practice a lot very independently. Like even though I had a really great group of partner midwives in my last practice, I didn't practice on a daily basis with them. I wasn't in the hospital with them. Right. We weren't attending birth together.
Everybody's seeing their patients doing their thing. And even private practice midwives, the CPMs, the CNMs doing out of hospital deliveries, it's always been an isolated career because it's hard to get EMS to work with you, physicians to work with you, the hospital system. You're out doing your own little thing. And you sometimes look collaborate with the midwives in the community. But yeah, I feel like midwifery, even though we're supporting on a massive level, our own profession feels very isolating.
It is. Yeah. So I've kind of like, I've been brainstorming more, like I'd like to get back into, you know, frontline clinical work eventually. I mean, I do miss patient care and I really miss sort of using that part of my identity. But I'd like to sort of brainstorm around like, what is it that we can do better as midwives to support right. that? Because you hear all the time about burnout within midwifery and how it's just this strange field. I think, you know, midwives are dramatically underrepresented in the current healthcare field. Right. And I think that we're also really misunderstood. And I think it's also because it's hard to understand ourselves. And so I don't know, I want to do some more work about what that looks like. How is it that we can support midwives better as individual clinicians?
Yeah. Well, and I think like my vision of business structures where there's like 2-3 CPMs, 2-3 CNMs, and we make it so there's other revenue streams. So you're not feeling this mass assembly line. You can have regular meetings. You can have paid get togethers as a group. That's more of a camaraderie focus. Cause I think sometimes when we're in maternity and we're actually doing private practices or working for a system that's feeling such pressure, it's the volume, it's the quantity. You're so exhausted. You don't want to go have dinner with them after that night is over. Like how can we shift business structures and opportunities for departments to have other revenue? That's because mental health and maternity is not good billing and coding revenues versus surgery and some of these other cosmetic things. So yeah, so my vision and like my support structure is trying to give business foundations so that they can have a budget for team building and a budget that they only have to see 8-10 people a day, and it can be casual and calm and not pressured. So yeah, we'll have to chat off recording of other ways to, because I felt it and I still feel it. Like I want the best of both worlds. I was like, I want to be in clinical, but I don't want to be on call 24/7. And like, yeah, how can we create these unique practices that fill both goals of being a midwife, but also having a good work-life balance?
Yeah, for me, one of the ways that I sort of bridged that for a while clinically is that I kept taking on students. I would take on master's level students, right? Like whether it was family nurse practitioner students or midwifery students. And I think while you have a student, they like eat, live, breathe your life, right? Like they follow you around 24/7 because they need patient interactions and they need to be attending births. And so I think those little tastes of like working very closely with a master's level student and then not, like your student moves on and then they graduate. And then you're thinking, gosh, this is really lonely to be on call all alone or to be sitting for hours waiting for a birth all alone. And so I'm thinking, gosh, there's a better way here somewhere.
Yeah, I like, see, and that's another perk to the preceptor role. We need so many more midwives to train the next generation. And I don't think that's talked about very often. It's so much the benefits for the student, but there's a lot of benefits for the preceptors that come out of it as well.
Yep, I totally agree.
Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time, Amber. I feel like this is a good place because I want to be respectful of your time. I'm sure you have plenty of projects and roles you need to complete. I really have enjoyed listening to your journey, and I hope everybody else does as well.
Awesome. Thank you.